Psalm 100. Amen. Right before we open the word, Patty Lempia, Patty, I want to pray for you. I know you're facing surgery this Friday, correct? Patty's right by, lift your hands, Patty. I want somebody to lay a hand on their shoulder here. Let's pray for Patty. She's right behind her there. Amen. I need a sister to stand with her there. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as Patty is facing surgery, Lord, that your hand will be mighty upon the physicians, Lord, all the doctors, the nurses, all those involved. The divine healing will be her portion in the name of Jesus. Lord, raise her up from this affliction. Lord, she wants to be in your house. She wants to serve you, Lord God. Father, grant that in Jesus' name. Lord, a quick recovery in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, for her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, God, touch them all. Lord, bring saving wisdom and knowledge to each one of them in the name of Jesus. Lord, as a church, we stand together touching this situation. Lord, into your hands, God, rest in strength. Lord, no anxiety in the name of Jesus, but peace. That we can be still in your presence and know that you have all things taken care of. Lord, meet every need in her home, every financial need, Lord God, that she'll encounter. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. In Psalm 100, if you would, turn there. This is Thanksgiving month. I know many of you will have families or go see somebody. And for some of you, maybe it's an opportunity just to relax for a day. Even that's good. Amen. Turn the alarm clock off and here you go. When it comes to Thanksgiving Day, it's a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday or anniversary. It's a simple day to express our thanks to God and really for one another. The 100th Psalm said this, it's for the people of Israel when they came out of the land. They're going into the promised land and God told them, when you come in and you have your own homes, you have plenty to eat. Don't forget me. I've led you out of the wilderness. I brought you into land that flows with milk and honey. Alex Haley, the author of Roots. Now, do we have that picture? Alex Haley, author of Roots, has this unusual picture on his wall. What it is, it's a turtle on top of a fence post. And many people who've came to his office have asked him, what's that picture of? And he shares with them that none of us can get where we're going by ourselves. Neither could that turtle get on top of that fence. So when he looks at that, he realizes that, hey, somebody has to help us get where we need to go. How many knows the Lord helps us where we need to go? And with one another, we can help others get to where they need to go. Say amen? I thought that was kind of neat and touching. When I look today in Psalm 100, verse 1, I have 5 Thanksgiving commands. And I really want us, when we hear these, that we exercise them. When it comes to worship, when it comes to the word, it needs to have interaction. In Psalm 100, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all you lands. The first command that we need to have is that we shout for joy. When you're happy, you can amp it up. Are you with me? Listen to me, and I know if you have children, you're kind of shouting in your house, you wake them all up, maybe wake the dog up, whatever. But we need to have a time and a shout in our life. Maybe on your way to work that you can say, Lord, I thank you. You're a mighty God. That if we put these to practice, our life will be fruitful. The word shout means to proclaim with force or a trumpet blast. That isn't a golf clap or a mini praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, we got to amp it up. When you're happy about something, I'll get that in a minute, you shout unto God. Listen, it isn't just a place where when we come in here, it's an opportunity. It's on our way in. It's on our way to work. Are you with me? We have something to be thankful for. When we celebrate, too many things celebrate with things that don't mean nothing. That 1 second in eternity is all going to be gone. But we have a God who's eternal. Our first command is to shout. When you get up in the morning, listen to me, we have a time to celebrate before all the festivities happen. How about shout unto your God? in Psalm 126, verse 2, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And we said among the nations, our God has done great things for them. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, I'll greatly rejoice in God. My soul will be glad in my God. Listen, we need to amp it up when it comes to joy, when it comes to shouting unto our God. I've shared this over and over, but I mean this. Every Sunday morning, when I get up, I don't have to go to church. I get to go. When I make it in the shower, you know what? I stir up because the real me is inside this. What you see is my casing. You see my body. I have a mind, will, and emotions, but I'm also spirit too. That spirit has been born again. And if you think about it, when you breathe your last, how many ever attended a funeral? It's usually just the remains. The life is gone. But that doesn't mean the person is dead. Are you with me? So the real me is in there. So I've learned over the years that many times you got to stir up that life like a giant spoon of the Holy Ghost. So when I get in the shower, Lord, I thank you for today. God, you're an awesome, mighty God. Lord, there's nothing you can't do. I shout unto you. And by the time I'm done showering, I'm stirred up. I wish I could say that I didn't leak, but when I get filled with the Spirit, I leak. I need to get refilled with the Spirit. Say amen. Amen. I live in an imperfect vessel. Paul said this, listen to me, I serve the Lord, but there's some things that I do and there's some things I don't want to do, I still do. I shouldn't be doing this and sometimes I do that. But thanks be to God who gives me the victory. But when I begin to stir up, one way to stir you up is to start using this coming from here. It's like a trumpet blast. It's like, God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that you're a mighty God. Now, remember the walls of Jericho? How many times did they march around it? How many times? Seven. Now, could God have done it in number one? Number three? Number five? He could have done it, but he says, listen to me, it's seven times. There's something about that. And on the seventh time you march around that, I want you to just say, praise the Lord. No, I want you to shout with all your might, and these walls will come crumbling down. There are some walls that are built up that need to crumble because there's a shout coming. You need to offer it. For your family, offer a shout of thanksgiving. There's something about when they shouted, everything reverberated. Even Jesus said when they were coming to that triumphal entry, and the Pharisees said, hey, silence your disciples, silence them, silence the people. And he said, if I silence them, the rocks will cry out. There's something about bringing that area. Well, by the time I get out of the shower, you know what? Inside, I'm stirred up and ready to go. I don't have to go to church. I get to. You can't stop me even if you tried. It isn't like, oh, I got to go to church today. Oh, could you imagine if the Lord said that about your prayers? Oh, I got to answer Eric's prayers today. Oh, wouldn't that be a bummer? Wouldn't it be a bummer if you got to heaven and he goes, oh, I'm glad you're here. Take a seat over there. I'll get to you in about 1,000 years. How would we be like, oh, man. I mean, I said, it matters what we do. When we see our God, I believe this with all my heart, when we're all there, one day we will. Revelation says every tribe, kindred, and nation will all be before the throne of God praising him. At that moment, are you going to go, oh, praise the Lord Jesus, amen. Or will you be giving it your all? How many of you will be giving it your all? Everything you got. Now, I don't know how long you can hold the note, but you'll have a glorified body. Maybe you can hold it, I don't know how, forever. But whatever it is, you're going to have a joyful noise. And if you're like me and you make a joyful noise, one day I'll be able to sing too. Say amen. Wouldn't that be great? But what about now? The first command is to shout for joy. Somebody say shout for joy. You can't shout for joy and be like there's nothing coming out. It isn't like, praise the Lord. Now, if you lose your voice, I understand. But it needs to be with force, like a trumpet blast. How many of those that shakes things up? Amen? Now, I remember a friend of mine, he was a trumpet player, and he was actually a pretty good one. He was like Phil Driscoll-style trumpet player. And I was talking to him one day, we had lunch, and he was doing a concert series. And he goes, "You'll never guess what happened." He goes, "I was at a friend of mine, he had this farm. And I told him, look, you mind if I play my trumpet? I like to play outside." He started to play outside, and he walked through where the pasture was. And there was cows there. And as he began to play, they began to gather. And he was so just playing away, playing his heart out, that all of a sudden he looked up, and there was cows everywhere. And they're like right here. And he goes, he was so shocked. They came because of the noise. How many knows he was changing the environment? Too many times we think the world's just going to hate everything we do. Listen to me. If they hate it, it's because they hated it before. But somebody will change. Somebody will listen. Somebody will know, man, I heard you singing unto your God. You've all seen people pray at a table and go, that's cool. I'm going to say we need to be bold about it. This earth needs to have our praises. It needs to be spoken here. It's the Lord's. We need to bring that. If you don't bring it, who's going to bring it? You expect the world to worship him? No, we need to worship him in this earth. Number two, the second command. Look at verse 2. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness, not because you have to, it's because you get to serve the Lord. Joshua made it real clear, and I kind of hope I hear that sermon sometime, when he told the people, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. I mean, we need to declare that today. We're serving the Lord. If serving the Lord is too hard for you, then serve what you will. But as for me and my house, we need to declare today that when I serve him, my attitude needs to be one of gladness. Come on. Imagine if the greeters this morning spoke, he said, "Oh, I'm glad you're here." How many of you can sense that? You've all been at a restaurant that sometimes you're overlooked and a server doesn't come. How many of you, you'll wait a little bit, but add 10 minutes to that and you're looking to go? Yes or no? By 15 minutes, you're out the door. True? Well, what if they came in and they greeted you? "I'm glad you're here. I'll be right with you." And they fulfilled what they spoke. It means something to you. Right? I remember my wife and I just came back from Kentucky about a month ago. And we went to this little restaurant. And it was busy. And this young little lady, southern girl, we walk in. "Be right with you all. Please take a seat. We'll be right there." And I'm like, that's kind of cute. And though she was serving a bunch of tables, she fulfilled her word right there. She did just that. I thought, cool. She was happy to do her job. And I could tell. Are we happy to serve our Lord? If that's the truth, the world will tell. People in the church will tell. Is this good? Come on, we can't serve him and go, "Oh man, it's such a drag." Could you imagine Jesus going, "You know what, I'm going to die for you, but I really just, man, I don't know. Some of you okay, the rest of you, nah." No, it was the joy set before him he endured the cross. He knew as he looked through eternity, you would come to know him, and that brought him great joy. If you were the only one, he would have done it. And if there's a truth, he reduced the earth to 8 people during Noah's day. There's a truth there. If you're the only one, I'd go after you. And I often think of that. One of the things I want to talk to Noah about, he preached righteousness for over 100 years and only 8 souls. That's some hard ground, wouldn't you say? As a minister, you'd think you were a failure until the boat started to float. Then they all realized they were wrong and you were right. Listen to me, if the ground's still hard where you're at, family's still tough, keep praying. Sooner or later, hopefully it's sooner than later, they'll realize you were right. That's good preaching, Pastor. Listen, if you come in this church with a shout and gladness, changes the service. Allie doesn't have to get things motivated and ramped up. I've been at churches where they had to ramp it up so you got involved in it. But usually if you ramp up, you'll ramp down by the time you leave. But if the church can just top off what you're already doing, it's a great thing. The church shouldn't have to fill you up. Just top you off. Amen? It's easier to top off a tank when it's not so empty. Now, I like our gas prices being a little bit cheaper right now. Amen? Do you know there's enough provision in the whole earth to take care of the earth? It's just when we get greedy, I can preach that. Hallelujah. People should not have to starve in the world. There is enough food. When we pay farmers not to farm to drive the prices up, there's something wrong with that. Yes or no? Come on. Sometimes we just got to speak it like it is. Say, God is good. Third command. Say third. Look at verse 3. Remember, He made us. Know that the Lord, He's God. It is He who's made us and not ourselves. We're the people and the sheep of His pasture. Remember, you're the created one and He's the creator. He's the Lord. We need to remember that He is God. It's easy to do this. Listen to me. Go, hey, I'm this. Get prideful. But God knows your frame. You're but dust. Few moments without oxygen, you're gone. He remains forever. That's why when those who raise their fist at Him and curse Him, sometimes it is an instant, their life goes on. He knows your frame, but you're but dust. His mercy is still covering. How many of us did some strange things before we were saved? Some things that we're glad that God still covered. Okay, 4 of you. I mean, thanks be to God that His mercy was sufficient for you too. Pray that their eyes are opened. But He does know how to reserve those in judgment too. Nobody escapes. But I'm created for your pleasure. Revelation chapter 4 said, I'm created for His pleasure. Then if you want to be fulfilled in your life, follow those things. I want you to start your day off with a shout unto Him. Now the volume, you know what I mean? I know you can hurt your voice in the morning. But bless God, you sang with all your heart. You turned on some tune and amped it up. Amp it up with your God. Bring it from deep within. God, I thank you today. Amen. I'm going to serve you with gladness. I'm going to go to church and be the happiest, joyful one there because you're my Lord. And I remember that you have created me. I did not create you. And here's another neat thing about the Lord. Is that He picks on idols. He really does. He says stuff like this. Why don't you talk louder and see if your God can hear? You know what? Your God kind of looks like you or a farm animal. No one's created me. And then when you stick His presence, Dagon was put next to the Ark of the Covenant. They came over one day and Dagon was knocked over, broke his nose. So they re-stood him back up. How many of us got to have no other gods before Him? He is the Lord only. He is the only God. Period. Jesus died once and for all. And you get an opportunity to know Him. I'm blown away by that. Every time I think of my salvation, I'm blown away that God in the billions upon billions upon billions, I don't know how many billions of people have been on the planet, He reached me that I could know Him. I'm indebted to Him forever. Remember Him. He told Israel, when you come into the land and you have prosperity and you have blessing and you have your own homes now, don't forget me. The Bible says that even their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out while they traveled. I mean, that's pretty good things. Talk about a supernatural provision. Now, hopefully you like what you had on because you probably had it for a while. But the truth is, they didn't have to worry about that. When He took them out of Egypt, He said this, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, I'll take care of all of it. And He fulfilled His promise. When I look at some millions of people, some 3 million that came out of, that's a pretty good start of a congregation. Here's the next thing. Why Moses had to be on the backside of the desert for over 4 years before he came public is because he was going to inherit a congregation of 3+ million. That's a lot for a first-time pastor. Wouldn't you say? I mean, sometimes the longer the training, the better the ministry. That's why I'm real cautious about new ministers. They may be flashed, they may have instant, but longevity is what God wants. And sooner or later, it comes down to character. I don't know why I'm doing that. In Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, being confident, verse 6, of this very thing. He who's begun a good work will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If I'm thankful to God, you know what the next step is? I'm thankful for you. I am thankful for this congregation. I really am. I love this congregation. I don't do this as a job. I don't do this as just an occupation. I do this because I love people. And see, I get attached to people. It isn't like people come and go. I get attached to people. I really do. When people are not around, I think about, I wonder what's happening with them. Oh, Lord, touch them. Hopefully things are well. I never want to make this an occupational job. If that's the case, I shouldn't do what I do. Are you with me? You guys are in my heart. That's all the difference in the world for me. Fourth command. Enter his gates, verse 4, with thanksgiving, and his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I share with the first service, thanksgiving is the doorway to walking towards God. There always has to be a door to get through. Thanksgiving opens the door. Courtship happens when you start to praise. That's the holding hands. That's the getting to know one another. Then it ends in intimacy, which is worship. Worship is the ultimate expression of our love relationship with God. I shared it with the first service. The more intimate the church is, the more new converts will be birthed. Because when a husband and wife are intimate, that's when kids start to come to pass. How many understand that? We need that in the church today, that his people are intimate with God. When we are, we'll give birth to that which is new. In your own relationship, now we have a couple doors here. Hopefully it won't feed back. If I want to get in the room, what do I do? I do, Mark. I come in with, it's good to come in with thanksgiving, but God don't want you to stop at the door. That led you in, that's a great step. Too often Christianity is just that. We entered in. How about the courtship? Listen to me, even after you're married, you still got to court him or her. Say amen. How many of those relationships still need it? I'll go to Tarjay because my wife wants to go there. Not because I want to go there. They have the worst tool section on the planet. They have one aisle, half an aisle, and they have pink hammers with flowers on it. Every time I look at it, I say, this person shouldn't be here. Amen? I literally, and one of the, I forgot who brought me one. They actually bought me a hammer from there. It was pink with flowers on it. Probably him. Pastor Mark does like flowers, though, but we're helping him. He had a rough childhood, so but we're still helping him. But when I look, you know what? She wants to go there. I can go there. You know, sometimes you just got to shut your mouth and push the buggy. Courting is praise. It isn't the end of it, but it's getting there. I welcome with thanksgiving. Now, if you ladies had a gentleman call you, you want him to be pleasant, don't you? Yes or no? You know, not everyone that you court, you marry. Sometimes it's like, that ain't working. Woo. Say amen. Not everybody who jumps in the boat needs to stay. Sometimes you got to throw it back. Oh, I'm preaching now. That is good preaching. Because a lot of them do this. Sometimes you don't need to put your lips there either. And back you go. man. What's pastor doing? That's just the truth. Amen. It's more than just having flesh in common. But if they're intimate with God, they're courting their Lord, you'll start to see that. The characteristics of that. They're loving on Him. They're caring for Him. And then ultimately, it ends up in worship. You can't fake that. I've seen people do this. Make it like seeing somebody up there. Well, they're lifting their hands. I'll do the same. Hopefully, she'll notice me that I'm a worshiper. But if she's got her act together, she can spot a fake too. But sometimes we get so desperate, we really want it to happen, even though it's not even a reality. Sometimes you've got to have somebody in your life to speak something to you. Say, you need to look at this. He treats his mom like trash. Sooner or later, he's going to treat you the same. Breaking it down. Number five. The fifth command is this. Sing joyful songs unto our God. Now, I don't care what beat you like. If you like it upbeat, you like it soft, you like it this way. But make songs that sing unto Him. Not every song has been created either. I'm praying for our music industry. I really am. I don't have that gifting. But I'm praying that there's such a song that's such in love with God, such power of God, that if it's played over an airway, a whole building could get saved. People could drop to their knees and repent. Amen? I shared this with the first service. I remember I was going to this building, had multiple floors, like 50-some, 60 floors. And I had to go near the top, and I pressed the button. And it seemed like everybody that day had to go that way. But so it started to fill up in the elevator, and I just got in the back, and I had a time before the first person got in. Lord, you're so awesome today. Today's the day you have me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Doors open. I was composed. But in my heart, I was like, Lord, you're so awesome. You're so mighty. You're so glorious. And the elevator started to fill up. And you know what? The presence of God came down in that elevator. And I remember this person looked at me and goes, what was that? He goes, I just sensed something. And I was bold enough to say, you know what? You just encountered the Holy Spirit. And everybody in that elevator did this. But nobody could deny it. Why couldn't that happen over a whole city? It did over Nineveh. At the preaching of Jonah, and Jonah didn't even really want to preach. Jonah just did it because okay, Lord, I'll go. After the fish swat, I'll go. And his attitude was one like, okay, I'm just going to do it. Then I'm going to go outside the city and I'm going to watch you rain down fire. And he was bummed that the whole city repented. Can God still save a whole city today? Then we're so limiting our God. We need to get back to having joyful songs in our heart. When it's in you, let it out of you. Some people will be upset, but they're already upset. But somebody else will go, man, I needed that. Maybe they've been away from the Lord and it drew them back. I see people praying at their tables. I applaud that. When my wife and I see that, you know, we've done this. We've actually stopped eating after we've already prayed and acknowledged. Amen. I remember this African-American gentleman was at a restaurant and he brought down the fire. He said, oh, God bless this food. Bless all these people in this place. And man, by the time he was done, I'm like, yeah. I was fired up. Yeah, I told him to. And then that was good prayer. What are we afraid of? Does He own the earth? Then, you know what? I'm created by Him. I can do nothing but the same. It's time to amp it up in these areas. I'll start in my private. It'll work towards public. Now, I know if you're working a job, there's balance here. But you can still shout inside your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, what speaks? You can change any environment with His presence. Is this good? Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. If anybody speaks different, come against it. Just because your situation may turn out rough doesn't mean it's God's fault. Who's the one that sinned in all of this? We did. And even in our mistake, Jesus still paid that price. Man, we're double blessed. We can say that He's good. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in the world where people's hearts are unregenerated. Their consciences are already sheared off because they've been in sin so long they don't even care anymore. That's the reality. But we can still pray and we can declare He's good. This Thursday, when you get up, shout unto your God. I want you to open the door with thanksgiving. I want you to court Him in praise and end up in worship before all the festivities happen. I'm going to find joyful songs. I find that after Sunday, I try to rehearse the songs all week in my spirit. It's in you. Let it out of you. How many have ever had a bad day and things came out of your mouth? How many ever woke up grumpy and made the day grumpy? In our family, you can't get away with it in our family, especially in my own personal household. We'll call each other out. Man, you're crabby today. You tell somebody who's crabby that's crabby, oh, that's an instant fight. Yes or no? Oh, no, you're so loving. No, you're crabby today. Well, that seems mean. Well, what it does is, like, it kind of goes, it puts you back in reality. You're absolutely right. I need to change my attitude. That's me included, even though I'm close to perfect, but that's me too. My wife will listen to this later and go, what's this? We need it, don't we? And we need to be man or woman enough to go, you know what, you're absolutely right. I need to change this. Lord, I thank you. Forgive me for being this way. It's a good day. I'm not going to make it bad. What changes your attitude, your demeanor, and what's coming out of this? I want fresh water to come out, not salt water. No one can drink salt water. Now, when it comes to seasoning, a little salt may do it some good unless you've got hypertension. But we need to have fresh water flowing. Not both, not a combination. Lord, let it flow. Let it be consistent. He's good. He's the only true and living God. He's the creator. He made us. He's the rightful owner. I can do nothing but praise Him. He's the sovereign ruler. He is good. He's infinite in His goodness and His mercy. It's the God I serve. I'm sheep of His pasture. Isn't that cool? That means He watches the gate. That means He will bring all my provision, what I need. He'll open up the field for me and say, dine all that's there. Don't go outside that fence line. Amen? When we used to farm, that was one of the hardest things when we had animals, is that you'd have to go to the perimeter borders where the fences were, and usually the grass was a little taller next to the fences, and it's usually where the wild stuff started to grow. And when animals see that there's big foliage, they go to that. But generally, they'd eat things they should and what they shouldn't. So we'd have to watch. We'd have to make sure all the perimeter was clean, too. Listen, you may get the big things done. Watch your perimeters, too. Oh, that's good preaching. Because sometimes you may be dining on some stuff that's really going to harm you. And when you get sick animals, it doesn't take long for a bunch of them to get sick. And if you've ever put down an animal, a pet, it's a sad day. It really is. I wonder how many times we've poisoned ourselves by eating something we shouldn't. Is this good this morning? And we could have the whole field, but we choose to dine at the place the farthest away. No, dine close to Him. Let's not see how far we can get away from the Lord, but how close we can get. And here's what I do know. When it's dinner time, the Lord will ring the bell. Come and dine. And when He pours out the grain, He'll fill the hopper up. You can bury your head and eat as much as you want. How much can you go? As much as you want. Be consistent in your time, and the Lord will get you through. That big book that you have here, you'll be able to go through it. And when you go through it, you'll be able to go through it again. I love it that He didn't make 80 volumes. He spoke enough to fill this. If we learn this, our life will be totally different. Not just reading through it like some textbook and then forget half of it after the exam. But Lord, I'm going to dine upon Your word. Do you know what Jesus said about this word? It will judge people in the last days. And at the white throne judgment, He's going to bring this word and say, it is written. And you'll be able to find where it's written. The world will be judged according to this. How many of us we need to know this? Jesus said, I've exalted this above my own name, and this name is above every name. It's so important, the Word of God. It's the only thing Satan hated more than anything. Because when he used it on Satan, it is written. He couldn't come against that. It wasn't just the thought Jesus had. No, it is written. It is written. And that stands forever. Amen? How many will take your time and I'm going to go through that gate with thanksgiving. I'm going to start my day off with a shout unto my God. I'm going to stir that up inside. I'm going to court him during the day, and then we're going to get intimate in the evening. Hallelujah. Will that make a difference? Every Christian will become fruitful because of that arena. You can't get that close to God and not be fruitful in every area. Church, I'd be amiss if I don't lead you this way. I want to lead you this way, church. Let's go close to him. Amen? For our children, our grandchildren, possibly our great-grandchildren, for the next generation need to see us fruitful. Amen? Can we do it, church? As we close here, I want to ask you, how many here have some areas that you know that the Lord needs to work on? Okay. I want you to consciously say, Lord, help me in this area, whatever that is. How many be honest that you have a certain weakness, an area where you get victory, but you just fall in this area? Let me see your hand. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to love you. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me with this. Any situation he can help you with. Secondly, how many need to start to have more praise coming out and watch a little bit less of what else is coming out? Okay. How many need to start your day off with a good shout and stir that up? As your pastor, I have to stir it up. I leak. I get all filled with the Spirit, but by the morning, I've leaked out. Because I live in an imperfect vessel. But I can be refilled again. How many understand that process? Start that day off filled with the Spirit. Sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Secondly, how many need to be more thankful? I need to be more thankful in what God has. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my provision. Thank you, Lord God. Never make it commonplace because you have a home or some food. God took you out of the wilderness of sin. Third, how many need to court him a little more? You need to hold his hand as you were. Just love on your God. My wife teaches the young ladies, don't wake in love before it's time. Some have. Mature in that. Next tier, how many need to end up in worship? That intimacy with God. How many want to see more fruit happen? As your pastor, I do too. What you do in this secret time will reflect publicly in a service like this. You won't be puffed up. You'll just love on. You won't run down because you're in love with. Can we be that church? Amen. And last here, how many are traveling or having people come by your house? You're going somewhere this Thanksgiving. Let me see your hand. Somebody's coming over. You're doing something for Thanksgiving. Would you be mindful of those that during this time, sometimes there's a loss in somebody's life. And sometimes the holidays bring back memories that they can't fulfill anymore. Would you be mindful of that? And be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Maybe you'll invite somebody that doesn't have a place to go, but really doesn't want to be a bother to ask. Be sensitive. The Lord will direct you. Amen? Lift your hands. I want to bless you this morning. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need in each home. Now for you that are struggling in an area, ask him, Lord, help me here. Judge yourself, you won't be judged of another. Help me with this, Lord, whatever that is. Father, I want to be more pure than ever. Lord, I want to stir that up, Lord God, and have a shout of joy. Lord, I want to enter, Lord God, through that gate, that door of thanksgiving, your courts with praise, and Lord, be intimate with you. Father, we thank you for the 100th psalm that you've given us 5 commands that we can walk in. Lord, we will walk in it. Lord, you didn't give suggestions. Lord, you told us how to be, what to do, and the benefit will be all ours as, Lord, you receive what we have. Father, I pray a blessing upon each Thanksgiving. Lord, each person's travel. Lord, give great rest, Lord God, upon each one. And bring us back on that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.